Welcome to today's edition of the Clinical Radiology Podcast, presented by myself, Dr. Kirthani Muthuswamy. I'm really pleased to welcome Dr. Rajesh Bhatju today, a consultant musculoskeletal radiologist at the Royal Orthopaedic Hospital. We'll be discussing his article in Clinical Radiology on Do Not Touch Bone Lesions, and he'll hopefully also be sharing some useful tips for approaching these lesions on a day-to-day basis.
Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Bhatju. Without further ado, we'll get started with the discussion. So to start, the concept of don't touch bone lesions is long-standing and established. Can you give us a brief overview of this paper and why you feel this update is needed at present?
Yeah. Thank you for the question. So as you rightly said, don't touch lesions is a well-known concept. It was described by Clyde Helms, and it was basically based upon radiographs. In our current practice, it's not very uncommon for patients to have MRI or CT without radiographs. And you can see bone don't touch lesions not only on radiographs, but on CT, MRI, PET CT, and bone scan. Some of the cases when you see on radiographs or any other imaging, there are characteristics, what we call as don't touch or don't investigate lesions. That concept we don't think holds good in the current climate. We may have cases which will still be don't touch, whereby it will be characteristic, which is type one. You can have certain lesions where you might need an interval imaging. They're called type two, where you can do another scan in about 3 months to see if there is any, to ensure that there is no interval change or growth of the lesions. Or type three, where you either need additional imaging and additional another modality to confirm what you're thinking, what is type 3A, or you might need some serum blood tests like serum calcium or serum inflammatory markers to diagnose them. And the reason for developing this sieve is if you see an indeterminate lesion, more often than not, previously we used to do a biopsy of the lesion to confirm the diagnosis. Biopsy itself can have complications like complications of infection, complications because of anesthesia and all. What we have tried to do is by using this concept, we can identify what type of lesion it is and try and decrease the number of biopsies and hence try and decrease the morbidity on the part of the patient, and also do it in such a way that we can come to a sensible diagnosis.
Yeah, so that all sounds logical, and I completely understand why this update is needed at present. You've proposed a new imaging-based classification system for don't touch lesions in this paper. Can you highlight the key aspects and how it differs from existing ways of classification?
Yeah, so the existing classification is based on radiographs, and what they propose is you look at it and you diagnose it and that's it. So you don't investigate further. With our classification, where we have three types, type one, which is considered characteristic, just like what was described before, where you look at the lesion, you identify it, make the diagnosis and discharge the patient. Type two is where you have a lesion where you think it is not sinister, does not require biopsy, you make a diagnosis, for example, a cartilage lesion, an enchondroma, but in order to assess and confirm that it is a don't touch lesion, it has got indolent growth or no growth at all, we do an interval imaging, preferably in 3 to 6 months, to ensure that there is no change. That is type two. And in type three, where, for example, you see a lesion on bone scan or on PET MRI, where you need another imaging to confirm what it is, that is type 3A, or where you need some blood results to come to the diagnosis, for example, in cases of brown tumors, that is type 3B. So this strategy will help people to identify and manage the don't touch lesions.
Yes, that definitely sounds quite helpful. But of course, with any new system, it can be quite difficult to get it widely adopted. How do you propose that this classification system can be adopted into widespread use?
One of the reasons for writing the paper is so that people are aware of this concept. We have been using this concept in our center for quite some time, but we have noticed that with the advent of other modalities, the radiologists predominantly who refer to us, the general radiologists, they sometimes have difficulty in identifying these lesions or classifying these lesions. So by writing the article and through the podcast that we are doing, as well as through lectures. We hope that we can increase awareness about this concept and how to manage these don't touch lesions. And that should help for them to identify them and also hopefully decrease the referrals of these non-sinister lesions to the tertiary hospital. Because as you know, if there is a referral of any lesion with query bone tumor to a tertiary hospital, it causes lots of anxiety on the part of the patient as well. But with this concept, hopefully we can decrease the number of referrals and also decrease the anxiety on the part of the patient.
Yes, definitely. And as you said, creating awareness is definitely one of the most important aspects of that. Do you know of any previous work done elsewhere that's similar to what you've done? And if so, how does this tie in with your work?
We are not aware of any similar concept of stratification of don't touch lesions on other cross-sectional imaging. If you look at all the literature, all the papers that have been done, they do the same, which is classifying them predominantly on radiographs and correlating the radiographic findings with the cross-sectional imaging. What we have done is we have tried to go what people do now. Nowadays, radiographs, I think, is sort of a forgotten art. People tend to do PET CT, PET MR, bone scan, CTs, even before doing X-rays. What we are trying to do is we are trying to see what's done. So hence, our classification is mainly based upon the current working pattern of the radiologists and the clinicians. And we are trying to develop a mechanism based upon that. And hence, we wrote this paper, which I think is more clinically relevant in the current practice.
Yeah, definitely sounds the case. And in terms of applicability, do you see this being used by all radiologists or is it aimed more for MSK specialists?
This is mainly for the general radiologist. Incidental lesions or don't touch lesions are very common. It can be seen by MSK radiologists, breast radiologists, GI, anybody can see them. And whenever they see these lesions, for example, if somebody has got breast cancer and they've got a lesion in the pelvis, and if it's being reported by an oncoradiologist, they might think it's a tumor. So it can help to, I think this concept of identifying and stratification and management of don't touch lesions is relevant for any clinician and any radiologist, irrespective of whether they are a general or a subspecialist radiologist.
Yeah, that sounds good. And I think as a non-MSK trainee, I would definitely find something like this very useful. And on that note, I know that many of us do find bone lesions quite intimidating, especially when seeing them on advanced imaging such as MRI. Do you have any advice for non-specialist radiologists when approaching these lesions in general?
Yeah, so it's not very uncommon for lesions to appear quite aggressive on cross-sectional imaging. To give you an example, it's not very uncommon to see a stress fracture being referred as a tumor because on MRI, there is florid soft tissue edema, there is osseous edema as well. And then patient has had either a bone scan or, but there is no radiographs. Whenever you see a bone lesion, whenever you suspect a bone tumor, always do a radiograph. You have to understand that the diagnosis of incident lesions or even bone tumors, for example, fibrous dysplasia, osteosarcoma, GCTs, is predominantly based upon what you see on radiographs. So the key thing is, if you look at the indeterminate lesions on MRI or on bone scan, start off with a radiograph. Second thing is, important thing is to know the extent of edema. If you look at a lesion and if there is edema, which is twice the size of the lesion, it is unlikely to be malignant. The third thing I would say is that if you see a lesion and if you have fat in it, if you have presence of fat, it is more likely to be a benign lesion. So these are the three important concepts. And in order to decipher the fat, you can either see microscopic fat, for which you can use T1 sequence, or you can use special sequences like chemical shift imaging to identify the fat. So these are the three key features. But always, whenever you look at a bone lesion, if there is anything that you can take away from this podcast, is always do a radiograph.
Yep, so I'll definitely be taking that away with me, and all those tips are very, very useful for myself and also surely for many of our listeners. Do you have any final thoughts at all?
The final thoughts that I would say is that I hope you like our paper, and I hope the readers and the listeners of this podcast would follow the classification that we have set. And if you stick to the basics, don't touch lesions can easily be diagnosed, and hopefully it will increase your confidence of identifying the bone lesions.
Definitely. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you. Thanks a lot for the invite.
And that brings us to the end of this podcast. Thank you all for listening. Make sure to read the article online and stay up to date with the latest clinical radiology news and updates via the website and Twitter page.